are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.
Thank you for joining us in once again another segment where we take a look at legal matters right here on the Maranatha Drive. Personal injury law is our conversation of importance today, of choice today. It's a significant topic actually, especially if you look at the South African context, considering the country's high rate of car accidents and other personal injuries. This talk will then hopefully provide an overview of what personal injury law in South Africa is all about, including the process of filling out a claim should you find yourself with a personal injury, as well as what to expect during legal proceedings. We've got, of course, joining us on the line, legal expert Rendani Ramogoma. Good afternoon to you, Bo Rendani. Thank you so much for joining us once again on the Maranatha Drive.
Good day, good day to the listeners at home.
Thank you so much. Thank you so much. We really appreciate your time once again. Let's drive straight into our subject for this afternoon. Personal injury law. What are we talking about and what exactly is that?
Well, personal injury law, it's not so much of a complex subject matter. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It's actually something that people come across on a daily basis. If one is to give a precise definition, one would say personal injury law, or sometimes referred to as tort law, covers cases where a person is hurt or injured as a result of someone else's negligence. So I want people to underline the word negligence.
All right.
And this type of matter is a form of civil law, which means one private party is going to be suing another, unlike in criminal law where the government prosecutes someone. So in these cases, the injury might not have been caused by a crime, but just a simple case of,
negligence.
Carelessness.
Okay.
Yes, carelessness. So maybe if we are to use the layman's word for a better understanding, let me use the word carelessness.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah. So in these types of cases, lawsuits can help the injured person to collect damages. When there is that particular negligence or carelessness, mm-hmm. Damages must be recovered. Mm. It can be in the form of to help cover medical bills or loss of wages from the injured.
Mm-hmm.
You know? So, but more often than not, in the realm of personal injury law cases, they are settled before the trial phase of the legal proceedings.
Oh, okay.
So instead of a trial, the two parties and their legal representative, or maybe a lawyer, discuss the issue and agree on a particular settlement. So there are many cases that are that are on the court roll,
mm-hmm.
that involve either road accident fund or medical negligence, which might not even make it to court mm-hmm. on the actual date, but would be actually settled out of court as people have reached
an understanding. Okay.
Yes. But maybe let me just also drive this point home.
Okay.
If the case does go to trial, it may be heard by a judge. And then the judge will then make a determination as to having assessed the merits of the case, and then calculate a fair amount of the damages for the incident.
You make mention of this being something that is usually not against the state. I'm thinking when you say personal injuries, obviously someone is claiming damages to self from somebody else whom they are believing to be responsible. Does the issue of workman's compensation when you get injured at work fall under this, or is that a separate matter?
No. When you are injured at work, you as a result of the negligence of the employer, because remember, mm-hmm. When you are an employer, you must adhere to what we call the occupational health and safety standards.
Yes.
So when those standards are breached as a result of your negligence, so you need to then compensate the employee
mm-hmm.
for the injuries that has been sustained at work.
Okay. And would that then be forming this a part of this law, the personal injury law, or is that falling under workman's compensation?
No. It will fall under workman's compensation, but... Yes, it will fall under workman's compensation.
I see. Now coming to personal injury, coming back to our discussion, you laid out the base for us as to it's somebody who has been injured and is believing that someone else is responsible. They're claiming damages, suing for that compensation, in other words. Can anyone claim, or is it only certain circumstances and people who might be eligible for this one? Who can claim?
Anyone who is of the understanding that there is some sort of carelessness that has occurred, and this person is wants to recover damages, this person must then make the necessary claim or sue the perpetrators.
Yeah. But do you determine to say some cases might be frivolous, and then surely you might not be needing to even go and start claiming to say, "Hi, you damaged," or "You, I want to claim from you." Is there some, because someone might be listening in and thinking, "Ah, but my case might be too small, man, for me to." Is it something that must be significant for me to start bothering the legal process to be ensuing?
Well, I think if a person has got flu and they sit at home and say, "No, but this flu is not so much bad. I can do a couple of days and then it will just quickly die off," then that will be very careless, because you cannot be your own medical practitioner. You'll have to go and check the GP. So if somebody has been injured as a result of someone's negligence, and they feel that they might, and in fact they've suffered damage, they've suffered loss,
yeah,
they need to recover damages. And as for what damages, that will be calculated by the settlement discussion,
yeah,
or by the court of law.
And this personal damage, Ndate Ramakoma, is it limited to self? I mean, it's, I hear the word personal in the law itself. Is it limited to self, as in the physical human being must be the one injured? Or can I also be claiming for damages to property, personal injury to property?
No. I mean, if you have encountered damages, anything, you know, anything with regards to you having suffered damages.
Okay.
I mean, if somebody shoots your dog and not a dog. If somebody throws a negligence, it throws a ball to your window.
Okay.
And you then incur damages.
Yeah.
You must be able to recover those damages.
Ah, okay.
You must recover those damages.
For human beings, but even for property that it's personal property, I can then go and claim from this personal injury law. I like it.
Because the word personal, word personal in this context, it means that it is something that has got personal attachment to you.
Yes. Ah, that's clear. Talk to us then about maybe the legal processes of it. How does then one, should they find themselves aggrieved, file a claim?
Well, in this sort of instances, one can approach a lawyer who will then assess the merits of the case and check whether if this can be taken to court, there are prospects of success. And then I know most lawyers would most probably take these cases on a contingency fee basis. Contingency fee means that a payment will only be done after the outcomes and after the payment has been recovered.
Okay. So
people must not be afraid and then just sit down with a case and think that they are not going to find expression. What they can just do is to approach a lawyer, because remember, a personal injury also covers issues such as a road accident fund. And so forth and stuff like that. So normally in this type of cases, you'd find lawyers assisting a person without even paying a cent after they've agreed or after they've signed a contingency agreement.
Okay, all right. I think that is nice and clear. Maybe then as we wrap this segment up, talk to us about what a person can expect to be the normal outflow and the flow of process when they file a personal injury law claim. How does that work out, and what would be the steps towards that legal proceeding?
Obviously, they must demonstrate that there was indeed damage caused, and this is how much they have lost as a result of trying to repair the damage.
Mm-hmm.
So once that has been determined, then that will also determine the amount that must be paid out to recover the damages. So the balance, the onus is on the aggrieved party to prove on a preponderance of probability that indeed I have suffered damages and I need to recover those damages.
And the aggrieved is the perpetrator, the one I'm claiming to be responsible, is surely responsible. Okay.
Yes.
And when you do this, we've heard of cases where somebody will obviously be, especially if they've got money, can drag the case. How long does a claim usually take before it's settled and is sorted? Are they things that usually happen over a few period of weeks, months, or can they drag for years on end?
Well, I mean, in my experience with these cases, I mean, as a paralegal, where I've referred cases of medical negligence and road accident funds, I've seen cases drag for about 2 years, 3 years at most.
But that's more for road accident fund.
Yes, our road accident fund, in fact, takes longer.
Yeah.
You'd find clients starting to think that maybe they've been defrauded of their money.
Ish.
But it's only because now they take time, because even the perpetrators, they try their level best to dodge the outcome that will favor the complainant.
Yeah, so basically when you're going to start a process and lodge a claim, you must just be prepared to be a bit patient.
You must be very patient and then allow the process to unfold nicely. Mm. But in most instances, these cases I've seen where there will be a proper settlement, RAF will say, no, this is what we think we can give you.
Okay.
And then with regards to medical negligence, the state, the attorney representing the state will say, no, this is how much we're willing to give out.
Okay.
And then once both parties have agreed that it is a good amount, then the case will be finalized.
All righty then. Thank you so much for your time. Any closing remarks as we wrap up today's segment?
No. I'm saying that I always give out this advice all the time.
Yeah.
If you have not studied the law, you must approach paralegal services to inquire if you really have got a legal issue or not. Because if you sit at home and just say, no, but this matter is not does not warrant any legal action, then you'll be doing yourself a lot of injustice because you are not trained. So paralegal services and setups in communities are there to assist people for free, to give them free basic legal advice so that our people can be able to find legal recourse.
I like that.
Do not make a determination sitting at home. Visit paralegal centers around the area. They are there. Mm-hmm. That is what we do. Our job is to conscientize you on issues of the law. So no matter how small you think the issue is, you might find that in the eyes of the law, it's very big.
Oh, yes.
So always approach us for this advice.
I like that. It's almost the reverse of the Hippocratic oath, right? When in doubt, please consult a paralegal and a lawyer rather than just sitting at home.
Yes.
Thank you so much, Dr. Yes. Ramagoma. May God bless you and have yourselves a great evening further.
Thank you very much.
You are tuned to Maranatha Drive on Adventist World Radio, powered by SID Media.